Well, good morning to you all. When I left home, I had to scrape the ice off the car. It was absolutely freezing. Now it's pouring with rain. But Christmas is coming. And this morning, we're going to look at both the readings that we've just had. But in a sense, this will be our last kind of Advent-y type thing, because then we're going to dive headlong into the carol service this evening with a big splosh. I'm kind of doing a last foray into Advent, I think, although we have got another Advent candle to light and Advent is still with us. So it's a sort of ish into Christmas. So here we go. Just some basics that we all know. Jesus came to earth as a baby. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And he sent the Holy Spirit into the world with his Father. If you missed Jesus the first time round, largely because you weren't born, you've got a chance to catch up. Because the Holy Spirit will bring Jesus to you whenever you're ready to receive him. And that could be this morning. Now, even. Just now. When Jesus comes the second time, no one will have the opportunity to miss him. Doesn't matter where you're standing, which way you're facing, whether you're asleep, whether you're awake, which part of the world you're in. If you're in a coal mine or on a ship, it doesn't matter. You'll be in that queue, in that great crowd, where there's only standing room, in front of the living Jesus, when he comes again. No hiding place whatsoever. And this day that Jesus comes again, Peter calls in his reading that we had this morning, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. And you can find a reference to the day of the Lord as far back as the prophets of the Old Testament. So if you go to Amos, even chapter 5, 800 years before Jesus was born, you will find him talking about the day of the Lord. And this day of the Lord is a day when God does the unexpected. A day when God cleans out the house. And I'd encourage you this morning to go home and read Amos chapter 5. It's very kind of enlightening. It has a dark side and a light side, and it's quite scary in many ways. But at the end, it says that God requires from his people righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So God expects from us a flow of righteousness that never ends, that goes on day in, day out, second by second, like an ever-flowing stream. Now, it sounds really scary to hear that there'll be a day of the Lord when God will clean the house out, doesn't it? But in our reading, it actually kind of gets a bit worse, really, because it says the heavens will disappear with a roar, which always kind of takes me back to Aslan and Narnia and the big lion there. The Lion of Judah, if you like. The big roar. And the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. So all the sin of all time, all that's gone on in the world, everything that's happened will be laid out for judgment, for review by God. on that day. And there'll only be one place where you can stand, where you will be secure. And that is in the place where all those who are standing have eternal life in Jesus, through Jesus. That is the only secure place to stand on that day. So the question is, when will Jesus come to earth the second time? Well, Peter says this: with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So it may be 2,000 or more years since Jesus first came and then returned to heaven. But for God in eternity, you could say it's just like 2 days. 1,000 years is like a day. Because God is not bound by time and space and the combination of both. He is, you could say, in eternity. That is where God is. And it's very hard to put yourself in a place where you're not bound by time and space, where it doesn't affect you, where you don't age. That's where God is. Peter also answers the question another way of when Jesus will return a second time. He says that God wants as many people as possible to accept eternal life and to follow him, to follow Jesus, to be saved. So that God delays closing down the current universe because he wants as many people as possible to be saved. And the longer he leaves it, the more people can be saved, will have the chance of eternal life. So perhaps this morning, you are the one person that he is waiting to be saved. Maybe you are one of those people he's waiting for, who could be saved this morning. Maybe it's you, or somebody you know. And Peter does point out that although God is taking God's own time, if you like, if he has a time, to get around to closing down the universe, when the end of the universe does come, it will be when you're not facing the right way, when you least expect it, maybe when you're asleep, but it will be instantaneous. And Peter compares it to when you're asleep in bed in the land of dreams, dreaming about that beautiful sunset island, and somebody breaks into your house when you least expect it, steals everything, and then violently assaults you, like a thief in the night. That's how instantaneous it will be when you least expect it. That's a sort of way of describing it, if you like. It'll come all of a sudden and bang, you'll be stood there before the living Jesus. Scary or what? So the other question is, if you're already in Christ, if you already belong to Jesus, if Jesus lives in you, in us, what should we do about the second coming of Jesus? Well, Peter gives us that answer too. And he says, we should live holy and godly lives. We should at all times be blameless, spotless, and at peace with Jesus. And we should be looking forward to his second coming. Wow, that's a big ask, isn't it? That's the ask that we've got. We should at all times be spotless and blameless, and at peace with Jesus, and looking forward to him coming again, every second of every day. And the way that Peter writes this passage shows the sort of intensity with which he expects us to live our Christian lives. Second by second of every day. Completely committed to following Jesus and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. You find echoes of that in Paul as well. Always walking in the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8. The call that Peter puts out is to look forward to the next arrival of Jesus in absolute expectancy and commitment to God's plan of salvation that can only be found in Jesus. So why should we have such commitment? Well, God's patient delay, Peter says, is so that we, the church, can bring about more salvation, bring more people to Jesus. Why such commitment? Peter says, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So not only would we be flowing with righteousness, like an ever-flowing stream, but we would be living in that place where it was totally filled with righteousness, filled with God, in God's presence, all the time, in the new heaven and the new earth. Now that's something to get your head round, something to imagine, and something to aim for. A world where God is present and there is total righteousness. Isn't that amazing? When Jesus came the first time, he had what you may call a huge heavenly marketing campaign. He had angel choirs singing in the skies. He had shepherds running around telling everybody what they'd seen. He had magi coming from the east and telling the reigning king in Herod that there's another king been born. And of course he had John the Baptist shouting out, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. After me comes the one more powerful than I. The one whose straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus comes the second time, he should have had every confidence that we, the church, have had a large and massive marketing campaign about his coming again. For hundreds of years before he comes. We should have been at it, and we hopefully are, marketing that Jesus is coming. And so when God closes down this universe, it should not be a shock to the people of Ripley that Jesus is coming. Because we should have been saying, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him, he is coming. And we are not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. But take heart, even now you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Turn around and believe. That's what we should be doing in Ripley, marketing the arrival of our King. Mark tells us that the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to John, confessing their sins. They were baptized by John in the River Jordan. So, what an opportunity we, the church, have. Because if they flocked to John, how much more should they flock to Jesus in us? How much more? So perhaps we need to renew our passion this Advent for the advent of our King Jesus. Not only his coming into the world that first Christmas, which we're going to celebrate very soon, but his imminent second coming into the world. And Peter teaches us, of course, that the more folks in Ripley who we get saved, the more we will speed the second coming of Jesus. The more people saved, the more they get in, the less God will be holding back. So we need to get out there and get him in, is the message. And then Jesus will be more imminent than he was just a moment ago. But imagine in the new heaven and the new earth, the yearly celebrations of the new heaven and the new earth, Christmas. Yeah? Because you won't just have the one Christmas when Jesus came, you'll have the second Christmas when Jesus comes again. So you'll have Christmas and Christmas, and Jesus and God present all in the same place. Imagine the carol singing for that, the choirs of heaven and all the rest of it. Imagine that Christmas that we're heading towards. It's a Christmas to, well, I'm looking forward to it. What a party that one's going to be. And you have it every year, of course, because Christmas comes every year, doesn't it? I can hardly wait. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.